Lord, for those that are suffering with sicknesses and diseases and infirmities, we thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us. Lord, we pray for all those that are shut in our nursing homes and their loved ones that are separated from them. Lord, in this time of anxiety, we ask that you would be Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace to them. Lord, for those that are experiencing fear of the unknown, Lord, help them to remember that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Lord, for those that need direction during this time where life seems to have stopped, let them hear your word that says, "Behold, this is the way, walk ye in it." For those that have decisions to make, we ask, Lord, that you would lead them and guide them in the paths of righteousness. Lord, for those that just feel overburdened with whatever is hurting their heart and soul today, may they hear the words of our Lord Jesus, who said, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Lord, for those that are facing impossible odds, we thank you that with you, God, all things are possible. And though the mountains be removed and cast into the midst of the sea, even there you will keep your children. So, Lord, we just thank you for your promise that you are our keeper and that you are the one that helps us. You are the one that protects us and preserves us. And most of all, Lord, we ask that we would open the eyes of our heart, that you, O God, would open the eyes of our heart, that we may see Jesus this morning, and that we would not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. Help us, Lord, to bring into our lives the eternal things that are unseen, and help us to cast away the temporal things which are seen. And so, Lord, we thank you and commit this service to you. Thank you, Lord, for your word that we're about to hear through Pastor Gene. Give us eyes to see you and give us ears to hear you through this, O God, because we will be careful to give you and you alone all of the glory and all of the honor, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
King of Abram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." The man of God sent words to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on the palace indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Abram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord," he said to one of the officers, "but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." "Go, find out where he is," the king ordered, "so that I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He's in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, "This is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." And so he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men so that they may see." Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" "Do not kill them," he answered. "Would you kill those you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them, and after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. From 2 Corinthians chapter 4:18, we read this. "So we fix our eyes on not what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." This is the word of God this morning.
Thank you, Pastor Kevin, Pastor Mike, and good morning. Now, those of you who have been following along for a little while probably realize that we are going through the book of Romans. That is our sermon series. And before we came upon Palm Sunday, we had gone through the first seven chapters of the book of Romans. Then we had Palm Sunday, last week we had Easter. And you may have assumed that today we would return that sermon series to Romans chapter 8. But as you can tell, probably by the screen that may be on your screen, we're not going to do that this morning. I got to say, for the last 7 or 8 weeks, I have thought about doing a sermon on the coronavirus pandemic, but I have resisted. And the reason I've resisted is pretty simple, and that's because every day of the week, all of you hear news reports, special reports by the president and the governor and others, all your social media, all of your contacts with other people, et cetera, is all about the coronavirus. And I wanted Sunday morning to be an escape from that, that we wouldn't talk about it, that we could just come for an hour or so and be free from that. Well, this past Monday, I was really convicted that I need to speak about this pandemic and put it in the context of Scripture. And so we are going to delay the start of Romans chapter 8 for one more week. And this morning I am going to talk about the coronavirus pandemic. And I hope when this sermon's all over that you will have a sense of peace, a sense of confidence, to know that everything is going to be okay. That would be my goal. Now, as all of you know, this pandemic has caused worry, and in some people more than worry, it's caused alarm, and in some people more than alarm, it's caused panic. In fact, there are people who never feel anxious about anything, who suddenly seem to be weighed down with worry and are not quite sure what to do next. I mean, travel is banned, schools and businesses are closed, people are panic buying, you still have trouble buying toilet paper and hand sanitizer. And I think one of the reasons that viral outbreaks are so scary to so many people is that you can't see the enemy. Now, yesterday, when I listened to our governor and he had the Army general speak after him, the one who's helping him coordinate the response and accumulate what they need to fight this pandemic, the general said this. He said, one of the problems with what we're doing is we are facing an invisible enemy. And when you face an invisible enemy, it is difficult. That's what the general said yesterday, and I agree with him. Things like germs and bacteria are microscopic, so you and I never see them coming. I believe that if infected people and infected objects had some kind of glowing aura about them, we would know who to avoid, and we would know what not to touch. But we can't see microbes like viruses, and I think that just escalates people's fears. Well, thankfully, viruses and bacteria are not the only thing that you can't see with your naked eye. The Bible tells us that there is a whole unseen world all around us. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that Pastor Mike has already read for us, it says this, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now, I want you to think about that statement. It's an odd statement, isn't it? The Bible has lots of statements like this. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So let me ask you a question. How do you look at the things that are not seen? All right? And while you contemplate that question, I want to share with you a story from the Old Testament. It's found in 2 Kings. If you have your Bibles there with you at home, great. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 6, because I'm going to be systematically walking through this story before we get to the real meat of what I want to talk to you about this morning. But I do want to talk about this story for a few minutes. I want to explain what's happening here before I get into the story. I want to give you a little background of what's going on. At this moment in history, the kingdom of Israel is at war with the kingdom of Aram. But the king of Israel seems to be able to predict every one of Aram's moves. Every one of his moves. Everywhere Aram's army goes, Israel is one step ahead of them. So much so that the king of Aram just assumes that he has a spy in his camp. Well, let me tell you this, that there was no spy. Rather, God is speaking to Elijah and giving him inside information, divine knowledge, divine vision, and Elijah is passing that along to the king of Israel. Well, when the king of Aram realizes what's happening, he sends his army to find Elijah and to capture him. And that's where we pick up the story this morning. All right, what we have is Elijah and his servant, they're in their house. And it says that Elijah's servant pulls back the curtain and discovers their house is totally surrounded by Aram's army. And just as we would, in verse 15, he looks out and calls out with fear and panic and says, "Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?" And instantly, Elijah replies very calmly, next verse, "Don't be afraid. We have more forces on our side than they have on theirs." Now, as you probably would expect, Elijah's servant is extremely perplexed. What is his master Elijah talking about? So Elijah then in the next verse says this, he prays to God, and he says, "O Lord, open his eyes and let him see." And God answers Elijah's prayer, and now Elijah's servant looks out the window, and he sees an army of angels, the entire hillside was covered with horses and chariots of fire. And then as the Aramean army advances towards them, Elijah prays again to the Lord. And he says, "Please strike these people with blindness." And again, God answers Elijah's prayer and strikes the enemy army blind. Now Elijah's probably full of confidence. He walks out to greet the army, and he basically convinces them they have arrived at the wrong city. And he offers to lead them to the man they're looking for. And since they really don't have much of a choice, the soldiers follow Elijah all the way to the neighboring city of Samaria. He leads them right into the heart of the city, and then he prays this, "O Lord, now open their eyes and let them see." Well, as the vision returns, they quickly realize they've been duped, and the Arameans are now the ones surrounded by Samaria's army, and the king of Samaria asks Elijah, "Shall I kill them?" And Elijah replies, "Of course not. Do we kill prisoners of war, give them food and drink, and send them home again to their master?" So the king made a great feast for them and sent them home to Aram. And then the Bible says in verse 23, it says, "After that, the Arminian raiders stayed away from the land of Israel." Oh, I bet they did, didn't they? It's a very interesting story, isn't it? And of course the question is, as it should be with every story that we read in the Bible, is what do we learn from this story? What is the central theme of this story? Why did God choose to put this in his word to have us read this? Well, I think the central theme to the story is really pretty simple, and that is the ability to see. First, Elijah prays that his servant's eyes will be opened so he can see. Then he prays his enemies would be blinded. Then he prays his enemies' eyes would be open again so they could see. So that raises a question for all of us. Are we looking at the things that are seen or the things that are unseen? I'd like to point out in this story that there are things that were unseen but ever present. And those same things that were present in this story are present in your life and in my life, even though they may go unseen at times. That's where I want to focus our attention. What things in this story were unseen, but were always there? And how can this help us in this pandemic? Well, the first thing that is there always is God's presence. When Elijah's servant looked outside, all he saw was enemy soldiers surrounding them on all sides, and immediately panic set in. What do you see when you look outside your house? Almost all of you are homebound all day. What do you see? Let me guess. You see kind of, if you can see roads, you see roads that are kind of empty, not being traveled much. You see very few people walking, and when you do see them walking, you see them walking with a mask on. It's kind of, no one's outside. And then when you go to a store, what do you see? You see everyone wearing a mask. You see lines on the floor that you can't stand in front of. If someone is in line in front of you, you see one-way aisles that people are going down. Everyone is kind of keeping to themselves. When you look outside with this pandemic, that's what you see. And that, over time, over week after week after week after week, causes worry, concern, and some, it causes a little panic. That's what Elijah's servant saw when he looked outside. All he saw was the problem. But when Elijah prayed that God would open his eyes, immediately he realized that God was on their side, that God had sent an army of angels to protect them, that God Almighty, the creator of the universe, was with them. Friends, God is with you and I as well. The Bible tells us that God is omnipresent. He is everywhere all the time. Listen to what David says regarding this in Psalm 139. He says, "Where can I go to escape your presence, your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there." And then Jesus says this in Matthew 28. He says, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." God is always with us. We cannot escape his presence. But like Elijah's servant, we sometimes have trouble seeing God. That is, we don't always recognize God's presence. So how do we learn to recognize God's presence? I'm going to give you three things very quickly here. We can all start just the way Elijah did. We can start with prayer. You could ask the Lord to open your eyes and let him see. Another way to do this is by worshiping together. This will also help us become more aware of God's presence. Now, I know that right now we are worshiping together in one sense. I mean, you are home, I'm here. But spiritually, we are worshiping at the same time to the same God. And there's going to come a day, hopefully not too much in the future, that we'll all be together in the same room worshiping God together. And worshiping God together, that will help you become more aware of God's presence. But the most important way to see God's presence is through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us this in Colossians. It says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus is the lens through which you and I most see God. As we read through the four Gospels of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we will begin to see God more clearly. Often, you and I know God is there, but he can be blurry or a little out of focus. He can be obscured by our surroundings and our circumstances. But when we focus the lens of our faith through prayer and worship and Jesus, we start seeing God more and more clearly. So the first unseen thing that we should look for in this pandemic is simply God's presence. It's always there. Next, we should look for God's protection. In Psalm 34, it says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them." That's just what Elijah's servant saw when he peered out the window. Because God, at that moment, lifted the veil between the earthly realm and the spiritual realm and allowed him to see an army of angels riding fiery chariots encamped around the unwitting enemy army. Now, Jesus also mentions this massive angel army. If you remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and the soldiers came to arrest them, and Peter drew his sword to make sure no one would arrest Jesus, and Jesus rebukes Peter, and this is what he says, "Don't you realize that I could ask my Father for 12 legions of angels to protect us, and he would send them instantly?" Just so you know, 12 legions of angels is 72,000 angels. It's a lot of angels. But of course, Jesus didn't need that protection because he knew it was God's will to go to the cross. But very often, you and I, we do need God's protecting, especially in perilous times like this. We need to see God's angels surrounding us, protecting us, and reminding us that God is mightier than any enemy that we may face. The problem is, as humans, we sometimes, in fact, I would even say oftentimes, we want to see God's protection as a magic force field that keeps us from all harm. That's how humans like to think about God's protection. This magic force field around us that protects us from all harm. I think that's what Pastor Gerald Glenn from Virginia thought. He was one of the pastors in the country who continued to have services every week through this pandemic. And some of those churches had, you know, a couple thousand people in them. And those pastors just said, "I'm not going to not meet." And 2 weeks ago in his sermon, Pastor Glenn said this, quote, "I firmly believe that God is larger than this dreaded virus. You can quote me on that." And he also said, quote, "I talk to God and I know that I'm safe." Well, he died last week from the coronavirus. Sad, but he had a misperception of God's protection. He stood there basically told his people that, "I'm a preacher, I preach God's word, I am safe." And knowing that he died last week, but his wife and his daughter have the coronavirus. His wife said, if you did, maybe you've read this, it was all over the news. His wife said last week, "Oh, I guess this is serious." Friends, you need to understand, yes, God can do anything. God can prevent disaster. But you need to understand, we live in a fallen world, and we live in a world with free will. Many times, God works in ways we do not understand. Sometimes, God's protection comes in the way of peace and strength in the middle of despair. Other times, God's protection comes as an ending because he sees something more on the horizon than we can see. Friends, often throughout the New Testament, God is compared to a strong tower or a mighty fortress. When the Israelites took refuge within Solomon's fortress or David's tower, the enemies they were facing didn't pack up and go home. Hope you understand that. When the Israelites took refuge in David's tower or Solomon's fortress, the enemies were still there and they were still fighting. But from within the fortress, the Israelites had a big advantage, because they were no longer easy targets out in the open. They could fight from a position of strength within the mighty walls. Additionally, they could climb the tower, and they could look down on their enemies and give them a much better vantage point and better perspective. God does the same thing for us. When we turn to God in times of trouble, our problems don't usually just go away. Right? That's not how God normally works, that all of a sudden everything just becomes perfect. No. But we can face those problems from a position of strength, and we can see them from God's perspective. As a child of God, you can rest knowing that no matter what hardship you face, God is your shelter. God is your strong tower, you and your protector. Hope you understand that as you go through this pandemic. God isn't necessarily just going to wipe it away. That's not how he works. He's not going to give you some magic force field. You can go everywhere you want, do anything you want, not worry about anything. No, that's crazy thinking. And if you have friends who think that way, please set them straight. We don't need to panic. We don't need to go overboard. But we also don't need to be crazy to say, I'm a Christian, God's going to protect me, and nothing's going to happen to me. Talk to that pastor and his family. He's dead. That's what he thought. Well, in addition to God's presence and God's protection, we also ought to look for another thing that is often unseen, and that is God's providence. Now, God's providence refers to God's plan or provisions. And you can't help but read 2 Kings chapter 6 without getting a very strong sense of God's providence. As this sequence of very unusual events unfolds, it becomes more and more obvious that this was all part of God's plan. And even though we may not see it or understand it, everything we're going through right now is part of God's plan too. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying God caused the coronavirus. That's not what I'm saying. No. No. But God is going to use it. God knew it was going to happen. None of that surprises God. Plans are funny. Most of the times when you and I make plans, we aren't really the ones in charge of the outcome. Sure, we can do our best to make certain things happen, but so much of our world, so much of our lives are dictated by things out of our control. Just when you think you've got life figured out, something happens, throws a monkey wrench into your plans. Whether it's a consequence or something that you've done, or some simple circumstance that is just out of your control. Suddenly, plans change, and sometimes they totally disappear. Often, the reason life doesn't go according to plan is that God has other plans, and God's plans always supersede our plans. James knew all about that, writer in the New Testament. He writes to the Christians that were scattered across the Roman Empire, and listen to what he writes. He says, "Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow, we are going to a certain town. We will stay there a year. We will do business there and make profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like a morning fog. It's here for a little while, and then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil." Friends, plans can be good, but when your whole life is shaped around your plans, you can become so focused on accomplishing your plan that you lose sight of God. Too often, our lives are dedicated to serving our own agendas. The Bible says in Proverbs, "You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail." The best thing we can do when looking to the future or when life doesn't go according to plan is simply let God be God. Align your life with His plans. Instead of trying to get God to fit into your plans, we always need to be fitting into His. Right now, it feels to many of us like the world's gone a little crazy. This pandemic certainly wasn't part of my plan, and we may not be able to see how it fits into God's plan. But the truth is, God is always in control, and His plans are never thwarted. So it may be hard to see, but let's look for God's providence in the midst of this pandemic. Let me close with these thoughts. When Elijah's servant first looked out the window that morning, he couldn't see God's presence, he couldn't see God's protection, and he couldn't see God's providence. All he could see was peril and problems. Consequently, he was petrified and panic-stricken. Maybe some of you watching today can relate to being petrified and panic-stricken. In this climate of fear, we need to learn to look not at things which are seen, but things which are not seen. Like Elijah, we need to see God's presence, His protection, and His providence. Let me remind you, again, 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, it says, "We look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen." Friends, church, we need to be cognizant of the fact that these things are always around us, all the time. Whether or not we see them or not, we always have God's presence. And when we look out around our world today and see chaos, see worry and concern, for you who call yourself a believer, who call yourself a child of the Lord, a follower of Jesus Christ, remember these things. God will protect us, but it may be in ways that are not obvious to us. God's providence is always there. God's plan is always there. God is sovereign, and certainly His presence is always there. I hope a reminder of that this morning will bring you a little peace in the midst of the chaos that's all around us. And I pray, and I'm going to pray in just a minute, that you will have that peace that the Bible describes passes all understanding, which basically means you can have peace in the midst of a situation that is not very peaceful, like the situation all of us find ourselves in today. Let us pray together. Father, I thank you for this story and the lesson we can learn from it this morning. And I pray, God, for all of us who are going through this pandemic together, I pray, God, we will never lose sight of the fact of your presence right there with us, with our family. Father, that we will sense your protection, God, and that we will also, we will see your provision. So thank you, God, for the reminder today that we had to focus on those things that are not seen, but those things that are ever present. And in doing so, God, I pray that you would give us that peace that passes all understanding, that peace that doesn't make sense in the midst of chaos all around us. And we can pass that peace along to our families, coworkers, or neighbors, in whatever manner you give us to communicate, God. And we can tell them about the goodness of our God. And God, we can give them a sense of peace as well. So thank you, God, for what you are doing. Thank you, God, what you're going to do through this pandemic and all the people that you're going to call back to yourself. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.